journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter. Yay. With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
Barry Corder, I would call this a quartery. Is this a quartery? A click, for sure. A quartery, maybe, perhaps. You're the writer. You're the smart guy. Dad?
It's an event. I'm going to go with that. I don't know.
I come up with the word quartery, and you come up with event.
I'm not even sure what that means.
It is a group of like-minded folk.
Oh, nice.
You mean like all y'all here?
All yuns here.
All yuns.
That's Barry Corder. I'm Brad Steiner. There's Lord Taco. Down there at the bottom, we've got underage kids that have shown up. what has happened, Barry? We've got children that have snuck into Lord Taco's bus.
Yeah. No, you did. That's good. Quartery. That's a good. I'm going to use that in a sentence in a story this week.
You just Google searched it, didn't you?
No, I'm proud that you know what that means. You Google searched it.
Parker from the Ruham cast and then podcast, and then Jake, his son, is here. And what I love about the fact that Parker, of course, you're living where, by the way? Where do you live?
In Iowa, Des Moines.
Iowa, your bus looks great.
Yeah, I remodeled it to look like Russ's.
Nice, good work.
Yeah, it's strange. You and Barry and me and Jake are all in the same
weird
because
Jake just looked like he
teleported.
Yeah, it's weird. You look like you were just in a Goodwill. what? where are you living? Side, that can't be Mom's house.
Oh no, it can't. It's okay. I'm up in Minneapolis.
Okay, well, thanks for cleaning the house.
I think you might be severely underestimating my age. I'd love to. Okay. Hear your guess.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah. Oh, and then
yeah,
the,
right. Go
the,
with
the,
it.
The sweet sultry sounds of the now. If there's anybody that in my world has more of a let's put it this way, you guys love buses. We've got three people on this call that just absolutely love buses. Daniel and Charlotte from the Roo Bus. Let's see. Can we take a tour of the bus? I've actually never been in. Can I swing the camera around?
Absolutely, you can. Let's see if we can figure this out real quick. I'm not tethered. All right, so Charlotte and I are at one of the front tables in here. Mm-hmm. And here is a dash. You can see the wheel behind me.
Yeah.
And see if we can get up here. Oh, here we go.
It's okay.
We brought dinner in here tonight. So the bus, I'm serious. We were eating a little bit before we started recording, so my apologies.
Well, you're in Alabama. Did you catch it in the yard?
All right. So I'm coming back here.
Hopefully look at that.
Connection stays. Yeah.
So see,
coming
great.
Back here, and this is where there's a king-size bed and two twin beds that double as a couch.
How
you
many
just have
times?
To get the tour.
Okay, so here's the deal. Lord Taco stays in his bus maybe three times a week. How often do you guys stay in your bus?
Not that often.
Really?
In fact, during the off season, I'm out here maybe once a week. We take the bus, obviously, to Bonnaroo every June, but we go camping a couple of times, you know, in a normal year that isn't consumed with the Rona. We do a couple of fun things here in Huntsville where we take it to, like, drive-in concerts and different wherever I can take it and make a scene.
I gotcha.
At least once a month, it feels like.
Now, you guys crammed into Lord Taco's bus and moved him out. What happened to Russ?
I'm going to guess we got another little potty break. He's good for doing these things. Disappearing.
PBR. Magic.
Yeah, well.
See, what's crazy is you're like, hey, I wonder where Russ has gone. And then you look down and there he's got seven empty PBRs. And, I probably figured out where that
is. And he's back. He's
I was
back.
So from you guys, and it always feels like I hear at least like four cans crack.
Yeah, they're all tacos. Every single one of those Lord Tacos. Barry, what's on the docket for tonight? What do we got
going
on?
Well, I think it's interesting to point out all the people on this have had podcasts. That's part of why we're connected. The buses, obviously, the Roo bus and Russ with the bus. But my big – we're going to
– What do you have in your hand? What
Parker
is that?
And Jake were pretty great to send us all cans of hams, right?
A canned ham? Like on
canned,
Dan Letterman?
A canned ham.
We got a canned ham.
Got a canned ham. Came, showed up on my porch. Showed up on my porch, and so I think we're gonna sample this.
I got a hams too, and here's what I just guessed. It's not gonna taste any differently from when it was in the fridge to when it was on my porch. I don't think there's gonna be any difference between the two.
I gotta say,
this is gonna be the first time that Charlotte and I have ever had this. Parker sent us this. Thank you so much, by the way. I saw your name and that it was from Iowa, I was like, oh my God, I know what this is. Yeah. I just immediately started laughing.
Right. So I packaged it and then I went to the post office and I handed it off to the woman behind the counter and I said, with your life, get these to Alabama.
Technically, you committed a felony for Alabama because you're not supposed to be able to ship alcohol.
Well, he was also holding a knife.
We had found alcohol in his hand.
It's the same law. It's the same law here, actually. So
Yeah, Parker literally texted me and was like,
"Part out."
Yeah, that part out.
Wait, there's alcohol in this?
Yeah, the weird thing, Barry, is that usually when I get packages from Iowa, it's just weed. This time it's a premium beer, which is unfortunate. It's not an award winner. Lord Taco, please explain the difference between a PBR and a Hams.
Well, the PBR won a blue ribbon.
God.
Showing that right. No word. What award did Hams win again?
The Ruham stamp of approval.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, only okay. Slightly biased.
So Charla, are you going to sample? I know you're part of a 30-day cleanse, right? Are you going to?
Oh, I've hit the 30 days.
Well done.
Oh, perfect.
What a way to celebrate.
All right, here we go.
What a way to come off the wagon.
Yeah, you might go right back on here.
Is it time? Are we opening?
Yeah.
I gotta slow this thing down here for a second. First off, Barry Corder, you've got a podcast with us. You've got the Ruham podcast. You've got the Rubus podcast. I don't like this because I feel like all of our listeners are in one place. Who's going to actually listen to the show?
It's very possible. It's pretty incestuous, isn't it?
All right.
Because I'm usually listening to you guys when I'm running in our neighborhood. So I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, I can talk back to them now.
Yeah, well, that's answer away. But here we go.
All right. So this is, by the way, so if, a show of hands. How many times have you actually had a ham? Anybody, the first time hams drinker from the Rue Ham?
First time.
I've had hams.
All right.
I've had hams.
Okay. All right. Let's just try it. Let's just give it a go. Right. But does this need to be in like a special glassware? Does it need a very special glass?
Yeah, the most expensive glass you got.
Oh, Charlotte, show them your special glass.
I have the 1982 World's Fair glass.
Nice. Okay. Knoxville.
It'll only increase the flavor.
The beer is going to taste like 1982.
It's a good year.
Can I use my Bonnaroo glass?
I almost wonder, Parker and Jake, if you guys should, give us the whole, what should we anticipate? What are we notes are we looking
for? Brad's a big, is what I'm looking at.
Brad's a big beer snob, so we need to
I'd give the deep smell first. When it hits your tongue, just kind of let it sit in there for a little bit, swish back and forth, and Think about the north and
this is like
everything that goes with
it. It's like the first time I was with a girl. She said the same thing.
You're gonna remember this just as well, I promise.
Parker and Jake, can you guys explain this a little bit? Like, what is the significance? Is it something that's just regional up there in the Midwest or what?
Yeah. Hams is I'm pretty sure it started in Wisconsin and then it got bought out by a Minnesota-based brewery because at least where I live downtown, you can go to there's a ham statue and like a dedicated square, I'm not kidding, to hams where their mascot is
Sasha
go around the room here to see everybody's first impression of the hams. Mine is tastes a little like COVID. If well, COVID had
blasphemy,
flavor,
blasphemy.
I have a feeling this is what it tastes like. Barry Corder, your hams experience
tasted pretty much like what I expected. Tasted like PBR and some of the other, what would you call them, American beers that I grew up with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Taco, definitely. What I've noticed what Lord Taco's doing, the man who loves PBR more than anything in the world, he's going from hams to PBR back and forth. He's washing his palate off.
I think Russ is already done with it.
Yeah. Are you? Anything?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Before we
get
well, hang on a second. Before we get to Taco, he's going to have to be the hardest one to sway. Charlotte, Daniel, what do you think?
You first, bud.
It tastes like a natty, but better.
Oh, that's high praise, honestly. Yeah, that's.
You know, you could have stopped the sentence at natty late. You didn't really have to go any further than that.
It's better than a natty.
Better well, yeah, natty. Better.
I feel like I should be sitting in a pool hall somewhere in Minnesota drinking this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good vibes.
It's like a premium. It's like a premium natty.
Yeah.
How do you guys drink this? I'm already belching. Maniac.
Well, last year we actually drank more of the Ham Special Light, which is a rare.
Ham Special Light.
You can blow through those a little faster.
Yeah. Ham Special Light.
Is that like a PBR Easy?
They make a light version.
It's like PBR Easy, but it's special.
Here we go. The drum roll for Lord Taco's official review of the Hams. First time ham drinker, Russ Jackson. Can't wait to. Oh, a special glass.
It's good. Okay. That's all right.
That's a glowing review from him.
Honestly, yeah, I expected him to kind of.
It's got this like is a little more of a metallic taste than PBR. But
you're drinking out of a metal glass, metal cup. That's why.
That's true. I am drinking it out of the Bonnaroo glass.
That's where it's meant to be.
But I took some sips out of the can too.
All right. Here's the deal. As an avid beer drinker. I will give you guys a lot of credit. First off, you guys are insane for loving a lager so much. It's nuts how you guys just you and Taco, you guys are all the same type. You know, it's all this. Who loves brands this much? You're as bad as golfers. You know how golfers have to have the logos everywhere. That's what you guys are. Just with the nobody's paying you. Take the brands off.
Hey, we technically have gotten merch though. We got an entire merch package sent by Hams last year. So I mean, that's
no kidding.
That's about as good a sponsorship as you're gonna get. Yeah,
that is pretty good. All right, I'm gonna start talking about banks. If that's the case, I'm gonna start talking about banks over and over. So look, as an avid beer drinker. I'm going to say that it is very much like you guys do. It's crushable. It's very nice. I feel as though
it's crushable. All right.
It needs to be much colder. It's just a tad too sweet for me. You know, it's just a tad too sweet.
All right.
And I got to be real. I've never. And here's what I appreciate about this is I've never put that much thought into what I'm drinking right now.
That's the problem. I think that we identified the problem.
I think that's also the. The appeal is that I don't know where I'm going. Jake,
you
any
don't input? Have to like it. You're right.
Quantity.
Quantity. See, we should point out. So Brad, like I said, is a beer snob. He drinks the craft beers, and you know, Russ will drink nothing if he can't get his PBR. Right? I mean, if they don't have it at the bar that I've been there with him, he won't drink it. He'll drink water.
I got him to try some crap stuff when he met us at the speakeasy room a couple of months ago.
I'm surprised.
That is true. And I think Kyle brought a craft beer that he wanted me to try. And
only
I tried
way
it.
I buy that. The only way I buy that. No, I know Taco very well. The only way I know I buy that is if he was absolutely shit hammered.
Oh, he was sober. No, I got him to try one from Huntsville, and he liked it.
Did he do it just like he did just then? He had the PBR in the one hand so he could wash it.
No, he's monogamous.
Wow, he stuck to it. I'm stunned.
Just go around here for a second. We know the story behind Rubus, but why the love of the Hams, and then how in the world do you fit that into your love of Bonnaroo, kids? How does that work?
Well, so what's kind of ironic is that Hams was brought into my life described as the worst beer ever from a friend of mine from school. And then Jake just happened to know about Hams as well when we became friends. And was it the only beer that we had in our trunk?
Jake? Yeah, we didn't know how much.
Because it was left there when you bought the car.
Yeah.
It
all great love stories start with, she just stuck in the trunk.
It wasn't the only alcohol. Yeah, we didn't know how much to bring, or at least I didn't, because that was my first year at Bonnaroo. And so I was going for kind of a quantity over quality thing. Now I know it's more of a quality thing. But at the time, quantity over quality. And so I brought a bunch of Hams. And I think Parker brought like Leinenkugels or something. And so we get to Bonnaroo, and he's like, what the hell is Hams? And I was like, I don't know. You know,
I knew what Hams was.
Or, well, you were like, it was weird why I would bring it. And I was like, oh, it was like 10 bucks. And you're like, oh, yeah, makes sense.
But would you ever like dabble with something along the same lines as something like a beer 30? Have you ever heard of the beer 30?
No.
Or Blatz.
Yeah, it's or an Iron City. Or
are you describing shitty beers right now?
In your world, they are A pluses. In your world, they are the top shelf, pal.
Walgreens has a beer called Big Flats, I think.
Yeah, I think Kroger's, just, Kroger's used to have a cost cutter beer. You could get a case for $8.
I think it's just everybody's sitcom dad beer. It just says beer on the side. Beer. I don't know if it's actually even a
Duff beer. Yeah,
exactly.
And so you guys had a friendship, and you combined your love of hams into a Bonnaroo trip?
Well, kind of how it, like, what really cemented it into the Bonnaroo lore for us was that we accidentally left it out in the sun, and it was the only beer we had at one point, and it was hot as shit. And so that was the only, and you know, we're
and then
tired.
It morphed into a baby.
It survived.
Our first son. So that's how it kind of.
Our first son.
But yeah, so they're actually, so we joke that they're meant to be baked in the sun. In someone's card, I wrote.
Yes. Buddy, put this baked in the oven. It's going to taste good.
Yeah. It hadn't been out long enough. Leave it alone.
Yeah. Wow. It needs to age in the sun.
It's like a fine wine.
Yeah, sure.
You guys ever brought any of these to the Red Root Beer Exchange?
I think they would have laughed at us.
Well, what we learned is that they only want IPAs there.
We brought one kind and nobody wanted it. So we ended up having to just give it all away basically at the end because no one wanted to take our.
Can I talk about this beer exchange for a second? Although I love the idea, it is not like any beer exchange I could ever wrap my head around because it's just a free for all. You find somebody that has something good, they're not giving it up. And there's always a guy that's walking around, you know, with, you know, giant sacks of beer that he pulled out of the thing. How would you manage getting something good from that exchange without, you know, trading stuff, but I'm getting, you know, a Sweetwater 420 after the whole thing's over.
It's kind of crazy that people are able to, like, game that system now. It's been along for so long. Like, they know how to.
Yeah,
they know how to rig it for themselves.
The year we went, sours were the commodity. Everybody wanted sours. So if you had like a nice IPA, you could trade for a sour. But unless you had get anything else, then you're basically getting a lager at that point.
Yeah, when I walked in, I brought my stuff and I just dumped everything in, thinking that it was, you know, something different. I lost all of my beers that way. I had nothing to trade. So I had to walk around like, can I just have something just to hand around?
The trick is you got to go right when it begins. It becomes like the Hunger Games because everybody puts everything into these little kiddie pools. Everybody jumps in trying to get what they're looking for. And yeah, I'm the guy that's looking for the sour. So yeah.
And Redaroo does this, right? Redaroo does this?
Yeah.
Who does this?
Yep.
Yeah, it's Camp Redaroo. Honestly, I was just talking with Mitchell the other day, one of the guys that helps put that on. I feel like it's probably the best fan run event in the campgrounds. It has grown like tremendously. They've had DJs and bands play it. They should just put it on the official schedule.
Oh yeah, we were blown away when we went. It was
amazing.
Huge. It was much bigger than we thought.
I can't think of anything, Daniel, that I mean you guys have done similar with your shows that you've done Wednesday night and all. I mean that those are probably two of the bigger fan based things that I can think of.
Yeah, so this way.
They had a hidden bar.
That was amazing.
Yes, they did. The monkey bar, yep.
That is a win for me. A bar that's totally hidden that had a bartender. That
Dave,
is
Dave, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
They make special drinks for Bonnaroo. I think one of them last year was the Manchester Mule. I don't know what was in it, but it did it for me.
I think I had one of those. Because I don't remember much after having
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's well, how yeah, you get, they, that's how you get Taco to experiment with things. I think I had that once. I have.
So they, yeah, the Manchester Mule and then our friends Repeat, didn't they create a beer or the yeah. brewery out of Atlanta?
Pontoon Brewing.
Pontoon, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing what's grown out of this whole thing.
Red Root had their own beer with Pontoon, too. Actually, I think I've got the label back here somewhere. We made a magnet out of it. Yeah. They partnered with them, and it was a sour in... I'm not kidding. I'm not saying this because, you know, my buddy's had a hand in it, but it is the best sour I've ever had. Pontoon out of Alpharetta, I think. They're legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, North Atlanta. What about your event, Daniel, Charlo? What do you guys usually try to put together? And when are you usually, you know, make it? Like, for instance, if you're going to have it this year, were you going to, how long do you have to start planning this thing out?
Well, 2 years ago is when we had the repeat show next to the bus, and I on top of the bus a little bit because Jared scared the crap out of me and ran on top of this thing while he was doing a guitar solo. I don't know how he didn't break his neck. We were going to do a thing last year where we were going to have DJs, and I guess I can let this slip now since it fell through, and it, you know, because of the traffic and everything, terrible.
Paul McCartney
going to come by, and then of course, yeah, I know. And then this year. Of course, that didn't happen. We were
say, who, are you, who did you say you're going to have? By the way, I'm sorry, I stepped all over that. What did you say you were going
to
have?
Last year, we were within spitting distance of having Cherub come out to the bus.
Okay,
but I mean, it's Bonnaroo. Cherub is going to be playing a bank of porta potties.
Yeah, they couldn't get off of their shift of Taco Bell to make that happen. Yeah.
Don't give them a hard time. They're such good guys. But this year, we did have some plans. We were able to talk with our mutual friend. Jeff up at AC, and we were potentially going to have the bus out at the new group camp thing. Mm. And we were basically going to have like fraternity row of like all the big Bonnaroo groups. So like potentially, you know, Red Roo and everybody would have been in this new group area that was going to be moved a little bit. So it would have been them, Camp Trying to Go to Bed, who does the Roo Shoot stuff, Lindsay and Celia from Roo Fitness, a bunch of other places would have been in the same place. And we would have used the new group plaza barn or tent as kind of like the main hub for all these events.
Yeah, so what if you're, but if you're somebody that has been in the same spot every year, you don't worry about that being picked up and put to a completely new spot.
Well,
that doesn't worry you.
You should talk with one of the group camp people about that. Some of them were a little upset about it because they had been in the same spots for years. You know, they had their shade picked out and everything, kind of like you guys do in the back, you know? So they were a little miffed about that, but this is just me speaking for myself. I wasn't that worried about it because it would have been that, you know, pretty much an equal walk anyway.
God, right. We were going to jump in. Bitching. We were going to jump into group this
year.
Yeah,
you would.
So it was exciting for it was exciting for us, but obviously this has been a first time, so we have no clout in the
Yeah, group. So where are you guys usually set up?
In GA.
Yeah.
Real GA.
Well, I know that, but like do you don't have a group camping thing? What was your pod last year?
We were in two last year. We technically had an event that had zero attendees.
Everybody does.
I'm gonna guess it was the hams.
Hams, yeah.
Well, it was the ham.
We had a giveaway. Someone did win it. But the person I tried to get in contact with them like three or four times during the
you
weekend.
You say they won it, but really did they?
No, they were because
it was off.
You just didn't want to carry it back home.
The guy messaged me several times wanting to get his prize, and we literally couldn't meet because he wanted to meet at the Childish Gambino pit, and I told him, you know, that's not going to happen. Or not.
But do you call this winning?
Sorry,
you
outside. This outside winning.
It was merch. Yeah. It was a hat.
It was a hat and good. A pin yeah. plus beer. So, I mean, that's yeah. you can't get much better than that.
To his credit, it is hard to say, we're in pod two. You walk past the building. You find the trash can. You take a left. Yeah,
no, it took us 45 minutes to find the beer exchange.
And we were in a cart.
And we were in a cart.
A golf cart.
Yeah.
It was miserable.
The thing is like the group area is not that far out. In town. Like you guys went like a third of the way. I did the 5K run twice over the years. And yeah, I can talk about that later. But I did not believe how far back the camps go. Like, the walk to the group area is nothing compared to like the walk to where like that church building is over there across Bushy Branch. It's insane.
Yeah. So I do know how long that walk is because the story that I don't know if we've ever told on the air, Barry, but my very first ever Bonnaroo was the worst weekend of my entire life, period. I mean, beaten as a child, left by his father alone. It didn't matter how bad my childhood was or my future would be. The worst weekend of my life was Bonnaroo. And I got there, and me and my buddy, his name is Dude. We got there on a Friday. I'll never forget. We drove in and we saw Dave Matthews playing as we drove. Yeah, look at you. At the time, you could see the stage as you drove in because you're driving on the main road. So, oh, look, there's Dave Matthews. We saw it on the screen. And so we just keep driving. As we turn left, I can't see it. Can't see it. Can't see it. Can't see it. Now it's totally gone. We are so far up again. I mean, I don't know if it's there anymore, but up against the woods line, right? All the way out in that back 40 area, right? So first off, my first experience was walking in, which was a 45-minute walk. At the time, and I don't know if this is still the deal, but Shakedown Street was a real, real thing. And it was not just what you think. There was a dude selling a dryer door. I mean, it was as madhouse of you as you could ever imagine.
Is it still there? I need one.
Anything. Yeah.
What brand? And color.
Use coffee filters. It was everything that you, like, these guys were just like begging for a dollar. Anyway, so we get in. It was miserably hot. It was awful. And then the torrential downpour hits. And we should
set up. You're carrying your hair product, your giant mirror.
Yeah. And all at the same time. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And this I just want to set the stage here.
I was even more of a diva then. So this is year two. Was this year two or three, Barry? I can't remember. Dave Matthews and friends is year two or three. I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, so we get back by the second day. We're miserable, absolutely miserable. We're so mad. The first night, though, because we're parked so far out there, Daniel, and we have no idea how to get back. There's no signs at this point. There's no lights. You have to literally just mark cars and hope to God you can remember it by the end of the evening. So if you took one wrong turn, you were gone for probably half an hour. Walking.
Did people not have giant camp flags at that time?
No.
Oh, man.
No, they didn't.
No, this was the Wild Wild West, man. This was
the Wild Wild West. And, you know, the camp balloons.
None of that happened. So
nowadays, it's easy. You can be like, oh, go turn next to the alien holding a dildo, and you're right there.
No. So
I know where that is.
Yeah, that was ours, actually.
I can still feel his beard. So you take a wrong turn, and all of a sudden, we're now walking 20 minutes down this path, and on the right, we walk up to a car on fire. On the left, there is a giant bus-like thing and someone peeing off the side. And a woman who's butt-ass naked runs straight to me, grabs me by the throat, slinkies down my body, screaming, LSD! I kick her off of my leg as she's now holding my ankle, and we just fucking bolt, double back where we came from, thinking that we made the wrong turn. We finally get back to camp, and that's when we lose it. We are panicked. We got to get the hell out of here. So the rain just starts pouring down on us, pouring down and pouring down, and we're trying. We are 20 yards away from the exit, and we just can't wait to get out of this hellhole that is this disaster of a experience, and our car gets stuck. So we can't get the car out. And we're stuck there for the rest of the night. So we sleep in the car until the morning of. There's this redneck kid driving up and down the road who's pulling people out of their cars at $20 a pop. We literally get the car pulled out, and we race. And at the point, my buddy Dude, and I hate saying this, he was driving over campsites. He was so mad and wanted to get out. He was driving over tents. I'm like, dude, you just broke. I think you might have ran over a person. I don't care. It was the worst experience I've ever had, and that was what got me so sour on the idea of GA and why I never ever ever went back. It was that walk that you talked about that I never wanted to ever experience again. I couldn't do it. Well, it took 2 years to get me back.
I think you should write a screenplay. You might be able to sell the film rights to that.
Yeah, it's called Castaway. You know, you feel like you're all alone on an island. It is. Have you ever watched the movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas?
Yes.
Mad Max. That's what it felt like.
But so it gets to, you're the exception, though. You did go back. Everyone we've talked to on this show, Barry, we talk about it. We've all had these.
I know that, but I went back because what the guy told me, my contact at the festival, he told me, you went through the wrong entrance. I had the wrong campsite. I had the wrong credential. I had everything wrong, and I accidentally camped in the wrong spot. I was supposed to be, you know, where we are now and never had these problems. But because I did, we made a wrong turn. It soured me for 3 years. And it took the wife to bring me back. It took the wife and Death Cab for Cutie to bring me back.
So Brad, I got to tell you, some people are still having these kinds of experiences. I mean, I've seen people doing some crazy things that I won't necessarily mention on the podcast, but like, okay, so the rain and the mud, I have seen that kind of thing happen 2 times in recent years. I think it was 2017. It rained on Sunday really bad. And out there in the general admission RV section, people were basically going mud bogging in front of us. Like, so many people were leaving in their RVs. It had made like a giant rut that had to be like a dozen feet deep. And I don't know how in the world that they got out of that, except people were coming by on tractors and I think making some devious deals to get them out.
Yeah.
And it was last year, it rained on the day coming in. And I heard horror stories of people that were stuck out on the highway for like over 12 hours.
Yeah. Rain that Wednesday night.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we talk a lot about, you know, our blessed Bonnaroo lifestyle, but you know, the year that will go unnamed and unmentioned is the reason why I feel so much compassion for the people that have to do this and do it with a smile on their face and do it with so much happiness and can still bring themselves to, you know, stand for, you know, some shitty band like Rich Brian or something. You know, it's something like that is unbelievable to me. And they're the people that I find much more tied to Bonnaroo than me. These guys are the real... They're the real,
well, that's what I want to ask, and I'll ask Sharla, I guess. Is Daniel always this positive?
Oh, 24/7.
I think I annoy her with it.
I mean, I've said it before. I just think, you know, your Bonnaroo attitude is so on the money that's why I think people enjoy listening to the podcast or whatever, but you just seem to get it. Were you that way before? You always that way? And
no. In fact, I'll be transparent. I mean, like around a year and a half ago, I was like kind of in a rut, you know, a depression or whatever. But then, you know, that was a while after we had the bus and like something clicked in my head. I was like, you know what? I haven't been practicing what I'm preaching. And then I figured that like I had to like kind of have more of like the radiate positivity mindset like all day, every day. And I've been feeling great for the past year.
I mean, same with like Parker and Jake, and I think it's all of us. The fact that we didn't have a Bonnaroo this year and we're still doing podcasts. We're still talking about this thing.
Well, yeah, but Barry, you kick your puppy.
Yeah, well, yeah, when, you know, when the cameras are off.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I guess all of us in this chat, it's like, you know, you put so much, you know, some amount of effort into something, and then it's just like it's just taken away. Yeah. It's like the bottom drops out from what you do.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, you know, when you how about this? When you got the news that it wasn't going to happen, were you as worried about COVID as you should have been, or did the Bonnaroo thing sort of snap you into reality? Because I distinctly remember a moment that I got pulled into reality and figured out that this thing was a much bigger problem than anybody, or at least I had led on to believe, right? I'll never forget a conversation me and Barry had early on. I was like, oh, no, this is not, it's the summer, it'll be fine, hangout will happen, they've got all this time to make this work. I was such a denier, and then something specifically happened that shook me, and I was like, oh my God, this is not going to happen for another year and a half. I wonder if there was like realist, like Bonnaroo realism that hit and shook people to their core.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I remember back in like March, Parker has a friend who he's a journalist down in Tennessee, and he reached out to us just talking about once Bonnaroo was canceled, kind of our thoughts on it. And I remember thinking that, oh, you know, it wasn't a big deal. Like, even if it got delayed a couple of months, I'd probably still go. I think it kind of depends on where you live. At least up in Minnesota, cases were still pretty limited, and the spread really wasn't as bad. And so, you know, that's the only perspective I have. And so I thought, you know, I can't, it's going to get better probably by July or not, sorry, not by July, by the end of the year. And then, yeah, I mean, as you know, as I had to work from home and, you know, I'm sure as cases grew in Iowa with Parker, yeah, we both realized that like there's just no way that this can happen. And even if it were to happen in September, I just don't know if the constant stress and anxiety of thinking about COVID would really make it a fun event to be at.
Yeah, and Barry asks us all the time, would you actually go if you if it was held in September? Yeah. Like if things, but this, that was the question you asked the other day. If there is a vaccine, would you go? If there is if it was still in June, we're still dealing with what we have to deal with. Would you take the vaccine and go, or would you experience it in a bubble, or do you experience it in a drive-in? Would you experience it any other way than you have in the past?
Yeah, it's tough because I really value the whole camping experience, and so for me, if it was anything less than that, you know, like you just mentioned, a drive-through, I would almost rather not have it and just wait till next year to have a full experience. If you're asking me if I would go just in general, I mean, if there were measures in place that made sense, and, you know, I mean, a vaccine would make a huge difference, I think, in my mind. But if there was no vaccine and it's kind of like it is now, I don't really see how you could possibly stop a spread with that many people. I mean, people aren't going to social distance at a concert. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Especially when they're shirtless.
Yeah, you're gonna love liquids on you.
And that was FEMA showers. That's I can't get past.
That was Jake at Rich Brian's shirt off, and
what, it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, it kind of brings things into like perspective, like how last year, God, we're gross. We found two jewels on the ground and decided to utilize them, and I can't imagine that in 2020.
Yeah, that wouldn't have happened.
run them jewels.
my skin is crawling just hearing that story.
I don't feel so bad. It's a way of life at the other.
That's the GA experience, pretty much in a nutshell, right there.
I picked up a koozie from a hotel bathroom, and that's like my favorite koozie.
Oh, he's gonna bring that up again.
Yeah. That was an ex-girlfriend.
Charlie got a ground score one year. She found like a really cool blue T-shirt that I still wear to this day.
No, that was a floozy.
Oh, gotcha. Floozy, not a koozie. Got it. What did you pick up, Daniel?
So one of the best experiences that I would recommend to somebody is like stick around on Monday, because first of all, you can rest up a little bit before you head home. But also, those are the best ways to get ground scores. Like, we've gotten the little inflatable bag.
I done told y'all. I got a
Chilbo bag. And like, there's still a shirt that I wear to this day that she found on the ground. It was a cool shirt. Like, all kind of cool things. People leave. It's just going to go to the dump otherwise.
Charlie, you've said, I know I've heard in a couple of the podcasts that you guys did that, and we haven't talked about this in a while because the Bonnaroo hasn't happened, but with the whole changes out in GA and the things, it almost is like you'd rather hang out with friends and group camping than maybe see a show.
I mean, that's essentially what they did a couple of months ago.
Yeah, and I just wonder, stuff like that, you know, how that even, it's hard to imagine what Bonnaroo is going to look like, whether it's June or September or when it comes back, just because of what we're just talking about. The large crowds, the bathrooms, the showers, the group camping.
I feel like even if it's in 3 years, it'll look radically different.
Yeah. Oh, for sure,
As unfortunate as that is, like, I visited a camp that I worked at, and they said that the measures that are going to be in place next year are identical to this summer, like no matter what the status is of the world. Like, and I would have to imagine it's the same for 100,000 people events.
Wait, say that again. Say what you just said again. What camp are you talking about? You went to a camp?
There was a camp that I worked at in northern Minnesota, and they said that no matter like what the status is next year, that the guidelines that they have to follow next summer are identical to this summer. If they weren't open, but other ones were.
So the reason strikes a chord with me when you say that is, you know, you're assuming that something's going to happen between, you know, now and summer. And, you know, I think that what I was saying earlier about the moment that everything hit and made me change my entire, you know, thought process of this is when Coachella didn't just cancel, but they canceled for next year, too. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, my God, if they can't. And then right after that, I can't remember if it was a week or 2 weeks. But then I kept saying to Barry, I kept saying the same anecdote over and over. And I said, this only becomes a thing when Disney closes, because if Disney's going to close, then, you know, that, you know, billionaires can't survive. Right.
Yeah, and so,
I mean, yeah, 2 weeks later, Disney closed. I'm like, oh, we're screwed. And, you know, Coachella not happening in the fall. And then you get you basically, from everybody that I talk to, feel as though nothing's going to happen in the first two quarters of the year. That means June is out. I mean, I think that you're looking at September again next year before, you know, some of this stuff starts to come back. And even then, I don't know how comfortable I'm going to feel. And I say that as a total diva, and I understand that. And you guys probably live a much different, you know, especially Bonnaroo life than I do. But Barry, you know me, I can't. I'm not high-fiving people, much less.
I think that's
going
to
be.
Parker, I mean, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, Parker, but I don't think what you were referring
to
necessarily.
I don't think he cares.
I don't think what you were talking about so much was the timing of it, as so much as the measure, the things that we're doing. Like, I know one of the local chick groups here, I think they teach dance to kids or something, but they were talking about doing away with water fountains. Taking them out, you know, closing them off, things like that, you know, measures like that, things that we're just used to now are gone, you know, and those are the things I think what you're saying probably aren't coming back,
yeah.
You know, so that's what I mean. That's what, and I think we can tease it. I don't think we're giving anything away, but it's interesting to me. Bonnaroo is going to do something online here in the next week or two.
They put a graphic up today that was their social media avatars. It was like virtual reality, I think is what they're calling it.
We're supposed to talk to them here in the next couple of days and get that information. But
hey, you know what? It's not like I have any special. I'm going to guess it's an online concert.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to guess features, performances from bands that should have been there this year.
That's right, and that's why I'm not being
breaking
news,
guys.
I'm not trying to. No,
somebody
trying
tell Festival Owl, and
that's why I'm not trying to sell it. Is that I'm just saying that's what they're going to do. But it's interesting that they haven't announced it yet. They're still trying to figure it out, and I think Brad and I have talked about that multiple times. Nobody knows. You know, that's what's so weird.
Have you guys watched any virtual shows? Have you? I know Barry's watched a ton. What about you guys? Mm-hmm. You been watching any of it?
I feel like some artists and their labels are starting to finally figure out a good way of doing these things. I didn't get to watch it because we were busy with something else, but I saw that St. Paul was doing an online show a week or so ago, and they were doing some more interactive stuff. And Old Crow is doing a show from the Ryman this Saturday where they're doing a lot more like that.
He's been doing a good job with the Heartland Hootenanny.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's like a modern version of Hee Haw. It's kind of silly and ridiculous, but it's so much fun.
Damn. Stole my idea.
And I think
said Heartland Hootenanny?
Yeah.
I do think Grand Ole Opry Bonnaroo has announced that they're going to be doing something Ricky Skaggs, right.
Good, because I haven't slept well lately.
Oh, dude, no, don't hate on Ricky Skaggs. He's like the best mandolin player ever.
It was legitimately the biggest disappointment I think I might have ever had. Aside from the hams,
you gave up.
Wow.
No, it's empty. I'm about to go get my second one here in a second. But, the Grand Ole Opry show was maybe one of the biggest disappointments I've ever had.
Everybody's disappointed with that.
We were there too. Everybody. And I was ready to love it. I was raving about it in the weeks leading up to Bonnaroo. But by the time that Riders in the Sky are trying to get the crowd going by playing old Toy Story songs, I was just like, this isn't working.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I think me and Parker actually look pretty fondly on that. I mean, I don't know about you, Parker, but at least a lot of our group wasn't into it. But we were like kind of the novelty of it's kind of fun. Maybe it's because we're not used to those type of shows, but at least we were kind of into it.
I thought the show was fine. I've said this before. It was the dead space between songs while they reset stuff.
Definitely,
I think did it in.
Now, when Ketch and Old Crow came back out, it became the hootenanny again. Like, those guys know the Bonnaroo mm-hmm. crowd, and then you had to get it fired up. And then it became like an old man mosh pit up in there. You know, everybody brings out their board to buck dance on. It was like that.
Mm-hmm. That was that.
It took an hour and a half to get there.
It was slow. It was very, very slow.
It was so slow. And, you know, if I wanted to spend an hour looking at guys dressed like that, I'd just do drugs. I mean, those guys, I don't know what they were wearing. I don't know what that was, but it didn't work for me.
Now, I will say, the year before that, when Ed Helms was still around, when he was doing his kind of like Americana bluegrass show, it was on fire.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best show like that that I have seen in my 7 or 8 years of Bonnaroo. The year before that, it was a little off-kilter because it was like the day of that Pulse nightclub shooting and everybody was kind of not there. But the year following, he brought out everyone, and that was such a fun show.
Have any of you done the bathrobe party?
No.
I heard that's where you want to go, though.
I'm dying to. I just, you know, the problem is that a bunch of, let me put it this way. The bathrobe doesn't have, you know, like a very secure locking mechanism. And I'm not necessarily the fondest of, you know, seeing a lot of skin or showing a lot of skin.
I thought you liked the package.
You don't want to
pull a Chris Evans
from your mouth to God's ears, Parker. But me and Barry have talked about this, about getting in the bathrobe. But it's those kind of stuff that those kinds of events that I'm dying to know if they're any good. I'm sure they're gonna be fine.
That's in Jake and Snakes, right?
Yeah, it's in Jake and Snakes.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, like, coming to New Orleans, you go to the original one. It's as big as this room.
Hey, Brad, we'll come.
You're in the bus. Come on over.
Well, we went to – here's the thing about Snake and Jake's. I can't imagine all the events are too different from each other. The difference is that everyone's in robes at one of them. And we went to one at like – we went
you
to
mean
one
like it's silent disco,
it
but
it was like
robes,
an 80s night, wasn't it, Parker?
Well, we went after Brockhampton and the Super Jam, and it's such a small room.
It was awful.
And the music is so loud and so bad.
Yeah, like, you literally have like elbows worth of space to like move around, and everyone is just...
Well, welcome to the actual Snake and Jakes then. You know, here's the crazy thing. I don't think, and Barry, correct me if I'm wrong, and I mean, if I did it, I must have been somewhere else, but have I ever even been in that barn?
Not that I know of.
I don't think I've ever even walked
in. I have.
Yeah. It's not super worth it.
It is a good place to go at like 3 or 4 a.m. if you want to see some really weird shit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
You know what? I can get that at camp. I can get that at camp and wear my sweatpants.
Generally, at 3 or 4 a.m.
That the weirdos, and I mean that in a loving way, seem to congregate in there and also in front of, she's going to get me because I'm going to say it wrong, Calliope.
No, you said it right.
You said it wrong.
You said it exactly right.
It's Calliope. I'm not doing this.
You said it exactly right.
It's Calliope, and they moved the goddamn hill, okay? It's
Calliope. No, not happening. Move the hill.
All right? It's Calliope. I live a mile and a half from Calliope Street. It is Calliope.
But I remember back in the day, well, not back in the day, but 3 or 4 years ago, you would go over there like 3, 4 a.m. or whatever, and that is... where like the Burning Man type of weirdos would come out at Bonnaroo.
Yeah, that's where we were last year. It was great.
Ironically,
we had a good time.
That's where I saw
3
Mary
in the morning.
Last...
Yeah, it was great.
You ever any of you ever been shirtless? Well, you go shirtless? Any of you? Barry.
What is your obsession with this?
Because... He was trying to get me to do it months ago for some reason.
It's kind of freeing, to be honest, at Bonnaroo.
Jake did it at Rich Brian.
Yeah, I've gone a couple days shirtless. It's pretty fun.
The show that you wanted to see more than anything this year.
You already know my answer.
Tame.
1975.
Yeah, it would be
EOB.
What's that?
Ed O'Brien.
It would be 1975 or Vampire Weekend for me.
Man, okay. Very interesting that the
What's Charlotte?
Run the Jewels.
Oh,
nice.
Very interesting. The kids said 1975. You guys are so emo. Shirt. It's very strange. So you're gonna have to. So as a guy that plays 1975 on a regular basis, I've met them several times. I've got their signed vinyl. I can't pick one of them out of a lineup.
Feel free to send them our way if you want to.
So Barry, the interesting thing about this is that, you know, radio in general is having a very hard time differentiating and finding a place for bands that are doing really, really well online and not so well on radio, right? They're not really selling units, but are streaming like crazy. And 1975 is one of these bands. They just, their numbers are through the roof, but you can't find a hit. None of them will find anywhere on the air. And I don't know how to curb that. I can't figure out who these people are that are listening to 1975 and what they like about this.
The thing I like about that band is, like, I hear different songs from them that almost sound like they're from entirely different genres.
Yes, completely all over the place. And that's why I fear them, because it almost comes across as Judah and the Lion, in that you want to be everything to everybody, but you're nothing to anyone. Yeah.
I mean, I get that. I think their execution personally is a little bit better than that. I mean, me and Parker have had this conversation before, that I think they're one of the fewer mainstream, I mean, you know, they're pop, they're not really rock anymore, but pop bands that are actually taking chances with their records. If you were to listen to all of them in a row, I mean, they do have a progression of sound somewhat, and each album does sound pretty unique. And
the production
is fantastic. And I mean, even on their newest album, they have a lot of electronic and dance influences. And yeah, I don't know. It's
what do you guys actually do for a living? And I don't even know this, Daniel. Sure. Oh yeah, Daniel works for like the moon.
The moon.
What do you?
The moon works for him.
But I don't do the fancy stuff. I work in communications and the IT.
I don't
department.
Give a shit if you mop the floors. I work at NASA. That's all. I would stop
yeah,
there.
That's a good one.
I love that. I don't do the fancy stuff. I work at NASA.
I get to hang out with people that do the fancy stuff, so that's pretty cool.
All right. Charlotte, I don't know what you do. What did you do, really?
Nothing now.
You got a man that works at NASA.
No, I mean, I did something, but, you know, 2020.
Yeah.
COVID. You know, no, I worked at a museum. I worked in tourism.
She worked at the NASA Museum?
Yeah, I worked at the NASA Museum, but there's no more museums.
Tourism 2020.
Man, I know actually several people that work in museums, and it, literally all of them got crushed. Yep. It's amazing that, you know, my industry is starting to feel it too. I mean, radio people are getting cut and cut and cut. It's amazing when you look around the room. Barry Corder's still employed. It's nuts, amazing. You know, of all the technologies, papers. Yeah. How's the paper doing, Barry?
Very well.
Yeah.
Very well. Yeah. We're doing.
You know
well.
Why? It's comfort food.
Information.
People are going to comfort food. I bet you if I go around the room right now, you guys are not listening to new music.
No. Oh, that's what we were talking about was, you were talking
about
radio.
Well, you're listening to Entertainment Paula, Daniel. Don't go too crazy.
Slow Rush has been on repeat since Valentine's Day. Yeah. But, I guess it isn't new music, but one of my other favorite albums this year was from The Strokes. And Glass Animals. I would make those two round out my top three so far. Oh, and the new My Morning Jacket, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you guys, Ruhams, they shook their head no. You're not listening to anything new, huh?
Well,
no,
I mean,
I would.
My consumption of new stuff is based around events like this. Like, that's how I discover new stuff. And so now that all of these, Bonnaroo and the local stuff, is off the board, I guess that, like, that way of consuming things is out of my life.
Yeah, same with me. It's a mix. I mean, I still listen to new music, but it's definitely not as much as it was.
Man, right? you just made me think about something that's really interesting. Barry, I don't think we've ever touched on this, but especially even offline in conversations, but I'm, because of COVID and the lack of needing to be engaged in this, even as somebody who does this for a living, I don't even know when something new comes out. I'm trying to think of, there's an artist that came out. If Frank Ocean released a song right now, I don't think I would even notice.
Well, I mean, for me, if it didn't come to the paper, or if I didn't hear about it from you, I wouldn't know, you know? No, I get exactly.
I
had
this new
saying.
Artist to tell you about. Her name's, Uh-huh. Lizzo?
Well, I mean, and they're not releasing a lot. There's very few being released. So, no, I was thinking about that the other day. Those avenues of how I used to get information is just not there.
It's like I'm not even paying attention.
Well, the last records I got from Rust and Wax, our record shop that we buy from, Radiohead and King Crimson.
Mine was Solomon Burke.
Yeah.
first solo album in 1957.
Yeah, catching up on it. So
yeah, I'm catching up on the old stuff.
You know, I tell you guys, like, one advantage that 2020 has brought is I've been able to discover more local artists. You know, usually in the first half of 2020, I would be learning the new artists that are on the Rue poster that I didn't know that I wanted to check out in June. But this year, since there's not really any live shows, I've been hearing a lot more from, like, Huntsville artists or from Nashville artists that I didn't know. You know, like, some of the artists that have been coming to play, like, our little secret Bonnaroos near Winchester. DJ Polly, this guy out of Nashville, I think, best EDM artist I've heard in a long time. And he was there playing on the back of a trailer, you know, like, just in front of our bus. We had a band, Taco, you played him on the podcast a little bit, Seeds out of Huntsville.
Seeds?
Yeah, Seeds?
With a question mark?
Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. Like, they're heavily influenced by, you know, party bands like Cherub or whatever. And it's not like anything else that you're hearing out there. And it's kind of weird. They're almost like a jam band where you have to, like, see a live show to, like, know, like, oh, this is what these guys are about.
Yeah.
I really think that's how we're going to emerge out of this is local, small shows, small venues, local bands that aren't having to travel very far, promoters that are willing to do it. And I think what we'll see is some of the even bigger name ones that we would normally have to see in a big building, you know, a big venue, pay a lot for, are going to be so glad to be out that we're going to see them in smaller places. That's what I'm hearing, how it's going to work. We're not going to just all of a sudden land back in the 40, 50, 60,000, you know, people events. It's going to be the small ones.
Well, I would say the reason why you're not going to see that is because they're not going to be doing them.
Well, that's right, but they're going to have to start somehow, and so it's going to be these small things like you're talking about.
Well, I think Seeds was thrilled to be able to play for 10 that's people, right. 20 people, 50 people, you know.
Well, that was the first time they had played live since January, and they were just dying to get out there.
Exactly.
Like, we paid them in margaritas and pizza, and they were more than happy to be there.
Paid in margaritas and pizza. I think that was a Jimmy Buffett song, wasn't it, at some point?
I like it.
What have you guys actually done? Have you done any sort of shows? Have you done a drive-in show? Have you done, other than the live cast thing? Have anybody done that?
We went to a little miniature drive-in EDM festival about a month or so ago, and I was really impressed. It was
Nothing about that, Matt. That math does not add up.
It was similar to what you had described at that thing that you went to near New Orleans. They obviously took a lot of precaution and a lot of thought into it. And we stayed around the bus, climbed on top of it, and was able to see the stage from there. And everyone was super respectful.
You drove the bus in?
Yeah, heck yeah. I mean, it was in Huntsville. It was only like a 20-minute drive from my house.
Wow, they gave you a spot for the bus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, having some kind of visual spectacle helps with that sort of thing, I guess.
Nothing at the bottom in Iowa and Minnesota? Nothing?
I mean, we haven't really had any drive-in shows, at least that I have been aware of. Back in May, like, I watched a virtual EDM festival out in California, and I mean, I was pretty impressed at how it happened, and I've watched a couple of random one-off online shows, but overall, I don't think the experience is quite the same, unless it's kind of in person, like they're talking about with the drive-in.
Yeah.
So, haven't really seeked them out.
The only thing that matters when it happens is that it's happening. Right. And you're just there doing it. And something I've given Barry a lot of shit for in the last few years is that he'll say, when we're talking about Bonnaroo, he'll say something like, well, you're there.
What else are you going to do?
What are you going to do? the drive-in shows, as much as corny as they are and how silly they are, but by God, you're doing something. And
I'm shocked at how well the one we went to was. It was almost like the real thing. I mean, everyone was staying in their space and doing their thing in their little corner, but it was like going to a real live show.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had them up by me, I'd totally love to go. I mean, it sounds fun.
Now, when you guys drive, do you separately drive to Bonnaroo, Ruham, guys?
Well, when we went to...
Or do you pick him up on the way?
This year it would have been a little bit different, but go ahead, Parker.
Well, yeah. Well, he was... The last 2 years, he's been in Iowa. So we just meet up.
Okay. Yeah, and we...
But you have to drive through Des Moines that way anyway, yeah. So...
We took, what, three separate cars? And then basically everybody meets at Parker's house because we're all within Iowa. Meet there, take three separate cars down. This year would have been a little bit different because we were planning on doing group. So we had people from a couple different states. So we would have to have, like, pickup points along the way.
That is an ultimate diva Brad move, is take three cars. You drive one, you ditch it, you get another one, and then you drive it, you ditch it, and then you get the rest of the way and want another one.
Sounds like you're pulling a heist.
Yeah, three different cars. What's the drive like? How far is that drive?
It's about 12 hours.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, do you see how we're losing Barry? You see how Dad starts to fall asleep?
Well, I'm hearing a little bit of echo again.
Barry, yeah. Start.
I'm shaking my head about the 12 hours and I'm hearing this echo.
Well, that's why it's interesting when you guys are like, you know, it's just a couple hours, because 12-hour drive is part of the experience for us.
Yeah. For us, that's like the fun part, is like half the experience is us having like... Like, we cherish Waffle House, which is probably funny to you guys. Like, we think that's really sweet.
Not after drinking the Sam's.
We
cherish Waffle House.
Nothing wrong with
Waffle House.
Waffle House
is like the creme de la creme of restaurants for us. But we always like...
I will
like,
say, you guys' palate.
it's superb, yeah. But, you know, like, we have... there's a city called Metropolis, and it's at, what, the Point of
that's
Illinois, Parker?
Is.
Oh,
yeah.
I've been there.
It's got a... Yeah, literally. It's got a giant Superman. And so we always go there. And there's like little things along the way that are just like, it's part of it. And so at least for us, I think if we cut that drive down to 45 minutes to an hour, I mean, obviously it'd be nice, but it would cut out a little bit of the fun.
That's fair.
What is fun about 12 hours in the car?
You're with your homies and you're chilling. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
40 years old. Do you think... With my homies sounds fun to me.
Brad, you want to take a 12-hour car ride with me?
I mean,
we're homies.
I get what you guys are saying, though. I'm doing that kind of thing, not to bother, but like going with some buddies to Chicago. I thought I would have hated it, but I loved it.
It's road trip, similar to just sitting around camp for 12 hours. Like, things just happen when you're tired and bored.
Things just happen.
I get it.
You know what you're talking about, Taco.
It's not. No,
I know about things that just happened.
Barry and I took one road trip together. One. And it was to Louisville, and that's been about it.
Yeah, Forecastle. Yeah. It was nice. It was good. And then I was ready 5.5 hours.
Louisville's a fun town.
I love Louisville.
I just don't. Nothing about that seems. I got a hard cap on being in the car, man. And
we went to Knoxville together.
Yeah, we all.
It was like 2 hours.
No, it's weird, Jake. I get exactly what you're saying. It's just so different for us because it's a stress thing. We're all. I mean, the other guy that rides or goes with us is even more stressed about getting there than I am. Talking about Brian Stone. He's all panicked that things are not going to happen. You know, credentials aren't going to be there. What a car's going to break down, whatever. So for us, it's just.
And he's, we're 45 minutes away.
Yeah, that's my point.
Out.
It's 45 minutes of, so yeah, 12 hours.
It's a lot of what you know. I mean, like, that's just kind of what we're used to. I mean, it's the same way with like GA. Like, I mean, me and Parker have had this conversation. Like, I don't think we'd really ever want to do VIP just because for us, like, again, part of the fun. Is staying at camp.
I agree.
And so it's all like one package together that makes it for us. It's not like one specific thing.
How many is in your group there, Daniel, Sharla? How many people you got up there?
Oh, man, it varies every year. I think the biggest group we had was the last Bonnaroo. It was us two, Brooklyn and Chelsea, our buddies Aaron and Brandon, and then Ashu, who came all the way from South Korea just to come to Bonnaroo.
Holy shit, that's a drive.
Yeah, so don't complain about the 12-hour drive at all. We were literally from the other side of the world.
Worth it. Yeah, I'm not traveling to anything that far. Never gonna do that.
She had the time of her life. Like, she had been to the U.S. and went to some smaller things like that, but she hadn't experienced anything on the scale of Bonnaroo. And when we met her over in Thailand at the backpacker place that we stayed at, you know, she was a little timid, kind of quiet or whatever. So I thought, like, oh, you know, maybe this is going to be too big for her. She was partying harder than anyone I've ever seen at Bonnaroo. It was fun.
Hmm. Don't think you've seen Barry Corder really throw down.
I let loose.
When he lets loose, he gets to 9:15, 9:30. It gets.
I mean, really, I think impressive. That's part of it, though, isn't it? You spend that 12 hours. When you get there, you're ready to let it go. So, yeah, I get it. I truly do.
Do we know, so South Korea is a tough one to beat, but do we know anybody in our direct circle, Taco, Barry, that come more than an hour? Do we know anybody that travels?
Absolutely not.
Ooh, that's a good question.
We don't know one person that comes for.
No, they're all.
I'm gonna be the one. I'm the one that's gonna be the longest.
Yeah, you're now the one.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. So when you guys, Parker, Jake, when you guys decided, Daniel and Charlotte are different because they're in Alabama, but me and Barry talk about this a lot, and we ask this question a lot, but it's so fascinating. Why did you choose Bonnaroo? When you first had the choice and you're in the middle of the country, you're in flyover America, why did you choose this direction and not anywhere else?
Well, what's ironic about that is that I did not choose it from a list or a whatever. It was actually a separate group of friends that decided they were going, and then I hopped on. And then I was the only one in that group that became enthralled with it. And then,
what do you mean became enthralled? Why you were there, or why as you
when I was there, and also I was the only one that was like looking things up on Reddit, going to InfoRoo. Everyone else was like, I don't know, we're just gonna go see Deadmau5. It was 2015, you know, we're just going there for a concert. But I was interested in like the bigger picture stuff,
mm-hmm. and what's
like the menial shit that we talk about, you know.
Yeah. What's interesting about Bonnaroo, I think, is the word of mouth. Marketing, because I think if you hear about Coachella, for example, I think a lot of people tell you that there's some cool music there, but it's a lot of, you know, not so interested people, and it's just not a great atmosphere. Whereas Bonnaroo, like what got me to go to Bonnaroo with Parker is him telling me just how cool it was and how it's really unlike anything you've probably ever been to,
yeah,
and it's sort of its own.
How many people did you tell that to, and it break their heart? Because I feel like me and Barry have told other people about how great Bonnaroo is, and they'll show up and like, this shit sucks.
I mean, yeah, it depends. Like, it's some people that's like not their thing. And I think for other people, at least for me, it's something where they didn't know that was their thing. Like, I'm not a camper by any means or a hiker or, you know, anything like that. But like, once I was there, I was like, this feels amazing. And I want to keep going back and back.
It's all about hanging out with the homies. Right.
What were you gonna say, Daniel?
Oh, we were just kind of talking amongst ourselves. Like, I won't name names, but like, we've had a different crowd come with us every year, and out of the lot of people that come hang around with us in the bus, like, we've only had like one guy that was just like, he didn't hate it, but he was just like, I had fun. I don't think I'm coming back. It wasn't entirely for me.
I was just gonna ask Brad, who have we talked into going that then didn't like it?
You don't know these people. And by the way, it's the people that and the reason I say that, it's the people that I think will do really well there that usually don't. It's the people that I never would anticipate in a million years liking it. Absolutely fall in love with it.
My only thing,
you didn't think I would like it.
Well, yeah, my
No, I didn't.
My thing on all this is you can't explain it to people. You know, the people have in their mind, they think it's just a big mud pit, mm-hmm. you know, a hot, sweaty mud pit. And they don't understand that we glamp, basically, or you make a camp as comfortable as you want. And there's so many cool things that you just can't. I mean, every year we sit around and we're like, yeah, you just can't explain to people, you know, we're having Bloody Marys on Sunday morning.
Morning?
Well, every morning. I'm just saying that's the seems to be the most.
Yeah, I think I will say the one thing that gets everybody when we start talking about this, the one thing that gets them every time is when I say the words Bloody Mary bar.
Yeah,
tent. We have our entire tent, and our own so. Bloody Mary bar.
You know, it's not. It's quite comfortable. We have a good time.
And I think about, and Daniel, is to your point much earlier, it's a lot like the way, and I really, really loved what Redaroo did with that campsite and the way that they sort of just owned that space and said, we're going to make this as baller and comfortable as possible. That's exactly the point to me. And anybody that walks in, I've never really understood the people that walk in, and the hams might be this way, but they walk in and just plop down a tent and then they're satisfied. That's cool. I mean, mm-hmm. I can see how they do that, but I don't know how they exist like that. I want camp to be the goofiest, funnest, most comfortable.
That comes with experience.
Thing that you can possibly create. Maybe. But I can't imagine going there and just plopping a tent down and saying, I'll be good here.
What I did the first year, 2 years, it was awful.
That's what Parker and I did the first year too. Like we had a camp, we had a cooler, two chairs, and a canopy, and we loved it. But then next year we were like, okay, like we
had a canopy. I had an umbrella that we followed.
You got us beat there.
Hey guys, I just got some breaking news. Bonnery just tweeted like a minute ago that the virtual reality is definitely next weekend. They just put out a cool little promo video.
Nice.
Now, how do you know it's a cool promo video when you're not even watching it?
I'm literally watching it on my iPad right next to my computer screen.
I see it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So next
looks
weekend,
like a,
yeah.
It's like a black screen to me.
Christy's in the video.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that would be interesting, and this is what, you know, I think that Coachella, it wasn't Coachella, it was Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza did a good, nice job of like curating a playlist and all this stuff, but it would be really more interesting if they got some of the artists to actually play. This is all cute and all that they can curate a live thing, but isn't there somebody already doing that? Isn't there that guy that puts together the live feed? There's like a guy that puts together live performances every weekend, and you can like at home Rue for a few hours a weekend.
Yeah,
that's
Bonnery,
all.
Yeah, Bonnery 365 has been doing an amazing job at that. Honestly, he has spoiled this whole thing because, like, I feel like
people
who have been watching that are going to have high expectations for whatever Bonnery is actually doing.
So
it's Homaru on Twitch. If we're dropping the
that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. If somebody can do that from their house, I don't know if it really moves the needle if it's a brand doing it. That's just me.
I want some play.
Live performances, man. I want some live stuff, but put something and some new content out.
It was a couple months ago. They had someone play a live set. They premiered a new song. I can't remember who it was. It was back in...
Was it Big Wild?
Rich Brian.
No.
Oh, God, I wish.
Was it Big Wild?
I wish.
All right, there you go. Time to wrap up. Everybody got a little bit of hams left? We can do a big cheers on hams. By the way, thank
you guys for sending.
Thanks for the ham. Yeah.
Yeah, it's no problem.
I will say, I mean, it's something that you can drink and not think about whatsoever.
You know, I think that's the most positive review we're going to get from you. I appreciate that.
I drank it. I feel great.
I think it's the fact that Brad actually sipped it is the big compliment.
Yeah. It was even cracked.
Nothing sits in the sun better.
Yeah, I love that.
It's a good dinner beer. I had dinner before we started recording. I was drinking it with
you. Oh, yeah. I've often thought through this. You know, if I was baking a pasta or, a nice etouffee, you know what I'd love right now? A hams.
Yeah, if all the ice melted in my trunk.
It would taste like hams.
And I couldn't keep the beer cold. No, it's great. And I really appreciate you guys doing it. It's cool.
Yeah, I really do. Thanks so much. And I really can't get over the amount of love that somebody has for a brand. It really is. It's awkward for sure, but it's interesting because like you've really got to be tied to a brand. And Taco is Taco because but it's PBR, right? It's a known entity. To be this obsessed with a product that maybe a percentage of the population has, you might as well just talk about meth. You know, you're like,
that's the side podcast.
No, I think you're underestimating.
Are you going to mail some meth? Is that next?
Oh my God.
No, this show would be really weird if that was the case.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
All right. Very cool.
All right. Very cool.
Thank you, guys.
Love you. Cheers. Lotaco, Parker, Jake, Daniel, Charlo. Cheers, thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
All right.
Yeah.
Until next time, where we all crowd into Taco's bus.
Yeah, I need to clean up a little bit.
It'll be next weekend.
Yep. Yeah. All right. See you guys.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year? That matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.